Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer at the New York Stock Exchange. David Faber has the morning off. Looking for record highs across the board at the open on a wave of good news. October jobs beat 531,000, best number since July. Positive revisions. Pfizer releases strong data on its COVID antiviral pill. We may even finally get infrastructure week today as the House tries to get a vote on the Senate bill. Our roadmap begins with Pfizer, though. Shares surging after saying its antiviral significantly reduces the risk of hospitalization and death from COVID-19. Job creation roaring back in October. We'll talk to the Labor Secretary, Marty Walsh. And pandemic stocks are taking a hit while reopening plays are surging. We're going to talk about which ones are moving and why. Start with Pfizer, though. Shares are surging after a study showed an experimental COVID-19 antiviral pill cut the risk of hospitalization and death by nearly 90%. Pfizer's CEO joined Squawk Box this morning, commented on if the pill would have an impact on people getting vaccinated.
The fact that we have a treatment is not at all a reason not to take the vaccine. In fact, we should take the vaccine. This is for sick people. The goal here is to prevent people from getting sick.
So if you take it within the first 3 days, Jim, 89% protection from hospitalization and death. If you wait 5 days, still 85%.
Look, Dr. Gottlieb is, we know him as straight shooter. By the way, Frank Del Rio runs, CEO of Norwegian Cruise, hired Dr. Gottlieb to figure out what to do. And Dr. Gottlieb said, just vaccinate everybody. And he was joking with me last night. The real Dr. Gottlieb is a much more fun-oriented guy. I thought he almost broke into a smile this morning when he said the pandemic's over. He said, this is it. Within sight, it's over. And I think that, yes, the employment number is really important, but I now think this reminds me of my father used to tell a story about how he was in the invasion force for Japan because he was in the Sixth Army. And they told him, listen, you have to be first. We're going to invade Honshu and there won't be a lot of survivors. And then one day the atomic bomb went on. And they told him the war's over. You're not invading Honshu. I mean, this is the atomic bomb. It went off and we are not. The numbers are staggering, much better than Merck. And I think that we should. I'm not saying we should go out in the street and celebrate, but like they did at the end of World War II, but it sounds like it's over.
You just did say with the guys on Squawk that wars do end,
right?
And when they do, people go bananas, and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, when I was talking to the Norwegian Cruise, we were talking about after the Civil War, there was a boom. Okay, I mean a real boom after World War I, after World War II, people acted differently, and they get much more optimistic, and they realize you only get around once in life, and they want to do exotic things, not mundane things. The thing that they most want to do is travel. And that's why it's not wrong that the travel stocks are up today. That's the thing they most want to do, because they want to see the world, because they think life is short. And this is something that Frank Del Rio has taught me early on, that the reservations in 2023 are the best they've ever been this far out. And look, I think it's okay to be. This is, I feel, a surge of hope. I had Jane Goodall on this week, and she distinguished between optimism, which she said can turn to pessimism, and hope, which is a natural reaction to something where you get through it, you can then do things, and that we are in a hopeful moment. And I find that stocks have been going up, maybe because someone knew. I didn't know. But Dr. Bourla, I mean, these guys, like, give him the Nobel Prize. I mean, geez.
Well, everything you're saying, we've heard this week from Delta.
Right.
We've heard it from Uber now.
Yes.
We heard it from Lowe's, Jonathan Tisch a few moments ago. Yep. Morgan Stanley today, a survey on 2022, says that corporate travel, the real healing, will start next year.
Yes. Expedia had great numbers. I thought Airbnb's quarter was one of the best. Best last night. Very exciting. And these are all without cross-border to speak of. Delta's November 8th. All the planes are going to be filled. I mean, I don't know, like November 7th, you know, it's November 5th today, so it's not that far. So I'm not saying happy days are here again, because if you do that, then people say, well, the Fed's well behind, they shouldn't do this. You see the unemployment. I'm just saying, well, the man who's been dead right, Dr. Gottlieb, basically said, war's over. And that's just incredible. It ended.
If you're if you missed the moment that Jim's talking about with Dr. Gottlieb, take a listen to this. It might be something to remember down the road.
I think the bottom line is the end of the pandemic, at least as it relates to the United States, is in sight right now, given all the tools we have to combat this this disease.
So are you now thinking about what you do with a Peloton or a Zoom? Or, I mean, Peloton. Telework is
well,
not going to just disappear.
No, I was telling Joe, I found out I was doing work on Peloton. I realized it was an exercise.
It's down 30%.
It was a treadmill company. And it was, you know, look, sometimes you get these conference calls, and they acted as if, look, we misjudged a little and everything's fine. And no, everything's not fine. And there was a pivotal moment in the conference call where they said, listen, we don't need money. Oh, okay, well, I thought you were making a lot of money. I didn't want to hear that you might, that anyone was thinking you might need money. It was bad. And I like Foley. I think he's a character. But what it's being revealed is something that that my wife was a precursor of when it became something to hang things on.
Stiefel this morning, a bunch of downgrades. But one of the things Stiefel says is more skeptically, the question is whether or not the revised outlook is an indication that the core product may be closer to maturity in existing markets than previously thought.
Maybe. I think when you listen to that conference call, they're going to have to cut the price big. There's a lot of supply chain issues. The treadmill has issues. It's a stock. Look, the stock was like a $25 stock before all this began. Could it get back down there? That's pretty negative. But I do think that when you look at the stocks, if you're an institution that you don't want to show you own, Peloton's number one. Like, let's say you go into the end of the year and your board says, hey, why do you own Peloton?
Well,
can we change the subject to
Planet Fitness?
Yeah, yes, Planet Fitness.
Who you talked to last night?
Oh my! I mean, look, Chris Rondo is basically saying there is an issue about going to a club that people like, and I just thought it was electric. What he was saying was, in the end, people want to be with other people, and people don't want to be alone. If they had to be alone, they can try to manufacture other people. But suddenly, out of nowhere, we don't have to manufacture them. They're all there. So I just think that Peloton is very visibly wrong. And United Airlines is very visibly right.
And we started the block talking about the impact of these antivirals on vaccinations.
Right.
Do you fade the vaccine at this point as a play?
I thought about that. And I think that... Pfizer, big winner. But yeah, the answer is, I think the one you really have to fade is Merck. Merck's numbers are nowhere near as good as Pfizer. So Merck's had a move. Merck's quarter was just okay. It's good Keytruda anti-cancer franchise. But I just repeal that one. Repeal it.
Which is weird because it's all over the UK tabloids this morning. Game changer, Merck.
Well, this is even better a game changer than their game changer. Yeah. This is a game changer. Look, Planet Fitness was a very good. Last night I had a game open show. So I had Planet Fitness, I had, Norwegian Cruise, and I had Papa John's, which was the pizza company that actually, even with game open, did well. And I was saying to Regina Gilden, our executive producer, I said, I can't believe we nailed it. This is what people need to know. Planet Fitness is back, and Rondo's fantastic. And a Lifetime Fitness is the analog for when you think about Peloton, look at Planet Fitness. I mean, look, nobody closed. Everyone said that all those franchisees were going to go under. They didn't. And I just think it's a remarkable story. People turned out to like other people and wanted to be with them. They didn't want to be in a room with Ali yelling at them and some music playing. I mean, look, my wife was a state champion bicyclist.
Yes.
When she was 14. And, she thought that this was like the greatest thing in the world. As soon as spin came back, that's when the jog bras, I mean, that's when the clothes, the towels, it all started. And by the way, it's not that good. As a clothes holder, it's not. I mean, things fall off and you put the towel on, it slips off. That's one of John Foley's people. Foley should have figured it out. How do you keep, like, some of your undergarments on it without.
Yeah. They've got some work to do, clearly. Peloton.
It was a bad call.
Yeah.
It was a bad call.
Difficult print.
It was the bad call of the night. Yeah. And it was jarring because everything's going wrong. The treadmill's going wrong. At one point, they said they overcorrected. It was a little unreal. I mean, sometimes you're in those conference calls and you say, well, I think that they thought that they did well.
That's a long way from 170 back in January.
Yeah, short squeeze there.
As for the jobs number, we mentioned 531,000 added. That's the best since July. Unemployment falls to 4.6. That's a post-COVID low. We're going to get the first reaction from the White House with the Labor Secretary in a few moments. Restaurants add 119K. That's almost one out of every five jobs added.
Well, that's American Express. I mean, Steve Squeri, who's a really remarkable executive, he was saying, look, the restaurants are coming back big. Now, the restaurants are coming back big, but the margins aren't as good because labor costs are so high. But I come back to the idea that maybe labor costs were too low. Now, Jay Powell did say that we don't know when the pandemic ends whether more people come back to work. He said it's a wild card. Can he stop those press conferences now? I mean, geez, that's like an hour of your life with Hollywood Squares. Jay, listen to me. It's okay. You're doing one a quarter. Gee, listen. Yep, watch it.
Maybe over-communicating, you think?
Oh, I like that.
The Fed?
Yeah, over-communicating. And plus, he always has to. I mean, a lot of the people, I think, are disrespectful.
Well, Axios has a piece out last night that he was seen near the White House. Axios reads it as a sign that the renomination may be coming.
Oh, boy, we really need that. I mean, I'm not a billionaire. All the billionaires hate him, and they always say it's because what he's doing to the workers. Are you kidding me? I mean, all your costs are going up if you're a worker. You bet you better have it. And the workers are doing better than they ever have in my lifetime. I mean, look at the deer workers. I mean, they got a good deal, and they said no to it. But I just feel like that Jay has done. Everyone thought that things were. Go back to where Jay saved America. Norwegian Cruise has $12 billion in debt, but they'd be done. Carnival was going to be done. The airlines were going to be done. And by the way, Mnuchin did a good job. You're not supposed to say any of these things, but they did. And Jay came on the Today Show and said, look, this is over. And all these companies then survived. They all would have been wiped out. Why don't we ever talk about what could have been? It's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. If, Jimmy Stewart, sure. I mean, it could have been we'd all be working for Potter.
The other Potterville.
Right? We'd all be working. You know, it was Potter or Bailey. And Jay gave us Bailey. I call him Jay because I know him. I don't mean to insult him. Well, I mean, I always see those people like Mr. Ambassador. It's like, well, I talk to him.
Yes.
I call him Jay.
You know? The odds of a June hike have come down last few days. People are maybe coming around to the idea that he's right about these short-term inflationary bottlenecks.
Yes, he is.
You think that's true?
Yes. I mean, look, if you buy if you buy the global foundries, which is a very important deal that came public, people aren't paying attention to it. If they can get the chips, Taiwan Semi can make the chips. If they, KLA, Lam Applied Materials, they all get the chips. Then we're going to stop hearing about that. The port thing is difficult.
Trucking too.
Yeah. Truckers. There's a lot of truckers who are banding together in little groups to become truckers and extract more of their worth. To have their own trucking companies. I think these problems go away. And I think Jay's right. I mean, look, is Wheaton, what do you do about the price of wheat? Well, he's not a gentleman farmer, for heaven's sake. I mean, and he's not the rainmaker.
J.P. Morgan last night looked at global auto sales in October, up 3, finally. And they do see that as a sign that at least maybe in autos, we're starting to see some of these pains
well,
ease.
Maybe. Autos, I still think, is a first half of 2022.
Yep.
And we'll know this when I get the Maverick that I ordered in March. I ordered this thing. I ordered it to garden last year. I hope I get it to be able to garden this year. I was going to go to every Eagles game with it. Where's my Maverick?
Jim Farley, call your office.
Yeah, where is my darn Maverick? I mean, what is that all about? What was that, a TV show? I thought it was a mini truck.
When we return, Uber is moving higher ahead of the open. The company posts its first ever adjusted profit. Gross bookings, all-time high. Dara on Squawk talking about good driver availability and some business travel. More Squawk on the Street continues after a break.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Shares of Uber higher this morning, almost 4%, after reporting its first profitable quarter on that adjusted basis, thanks to upbeat performance in Ride and Eats. It did post an overall loss due to the drop of value in its stake in China's ride-hailing company, Didi. This is CEO Dara Khosrowshahi earlier on Squawk.
What we saw in the second quarter earlier this year is that the demand for transportation and mobility, as well as food, frankly, was growing much faster than supply. So the team went to work to make sure that we communicate to drivers and couriers out there. This is flexible work. The earnings opportunities are incredible, and the results speak for themselves.
He said the corporate travel rebound is unmistakable, up 60% last couple months.
Yeah, and he mentioned, look, it's easier to find drivers, which is one of the key metrics. The thing that I thought was very interesting was people still want to stay, get deliveries at home. That business turned out to be really good. I think there was a group of people who felt, wait a second, now everybody's going to go out. But it turns out you're using them for a lot more things than just dinner.
You liked Drizzly back in the...
Drizzly was brilliant. Yes. That's the liquor delivered at home. I think, by the way, that Tony Hsu's doing a good job at DoorDash. These are companies that people thought might be Peloton, and they're just not Peloton.
Some worried that, like on grocery, for example, grocery margins in general are thin. How long can they afford to pay those kinds of fees?
No, it's a great question. And I think that I was prepared to hear a little more skepticism about it. Dara's built up a lot of credibility. If he says if they're making money, they're making money. And it was a good call. Delivery and mobility, a very good call. He's a pro, and he doesn't duck when things are bad. And I like that. But the biggest pro was Chesky. Airbnb.
Yes, we didn't touch on it.
I love that quarter.
122 beat 75.
He and Expedia was very good. I think we have maybe a soundbite from Expedia, but when you listen to Chesky, you have to realize that Airbnb, just that's the way people are going to have vacation. And that was before international. It has become the way people, on weekends, they go to a nicer part of town. I mean, everything, this thing's coming together.
And as Chesky would argue, now that three-day weekends, four-day weekends
yes.
are almost normal, almost routine, the idea of taking a long weekend at an Airbnb makes more sense.
It is. I remember telling him when my daughter was teaching English in Madrid, in a big lockdown, she wasn't allowed to leave Madrid. But every weekend, she went to a new place to stay. And I said, isn't that amazing? He said, no, Jim, that's what people do now. And I said, God, I'm so out of touch. But I said, but then again, he does have a complete book of business that shows you everything. He's a remarkable CEO. CEO with a heart, doing unbelievable things. I really love, I mean, there's some really good CEOs in this new crop. And Chesky's one of the leaders.
Mm-hmm. Kramer's Mad Dash and the opening bell head after a short break in about 10 minutes. Don't go away.
You seek the key. But first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Time for Kramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell, watching Boeing today.
Yeah, now my travel trust owns Boeing, okay, and you can follow along at the investment club, and I like to tell good and bad. While we're up on the stock, I've been too bullish. This morning, they settled a lawsuit, shareholder suit, $225 billion, that the insurance will pay for it. They've agreed to add an ombudsman, into to look at internal issues, and then to have someone, a director who has some qualifications in airline safety. I'm kind of surprised they didn't have that before. And there's talk about how come the previous CEO wasn't more focused on what happened. And it's Dennis Muilenburg. And the answer is that this is worthless. Don't you buy it on this. It's something that we all expected would happen. Buy Boeing because you think that everything's going to reopen and people are going to need more planes. And that, I think, is possible. But Boeing is still a very tough own, and I'm the first to admit it. And it's a tough own because they did a lot of things wrong. And it's not done.
I'm surprised to hear you not be more positive on delivery outlook, given some of the safety challenges they've had.
They need a lot. They still need the FAA to back them on one of their planes. They need the Chinese to certify another plane. There are not enough orders just from the American airline companies or the international. And I have to tell you, it was a great company, and now it's just a good company. And this is just one more example. They had the NINA ombudsman? They didn't have anyone on the board who understood airline safety? I mean, you're like kidding? Who are these guys?
You've basically said that to Calhoun himself.
Yes. Yeah. Now, look, I think that in the end, maybe they do get China. China's been a little bit softer. There'll be, obviously, if Delta says all the planes are going to be filled, it'll be filled. But they have major hurdles still to Calhoun doesn't deny it.
Right.
Major hurdles. And they did a lot of, I go back, they did a lot of things wrong. Many more than people realize. And we're discovering a lot about Boeing. And it's not good.
Yep, there's still a lot that's being reported about it, even today. Opening bell coming up in just a couple of minutes. And don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Just listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast. Do not go away. Busy morning as we await some what's likely to be all-time highs at the open across the board. But watch DraftKings today. Revenue miss. Some of their ARPU metrics were below expectations on this hold rate on NFL games, Jim. Anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting. There have been no upsets. There have been no upsets. And that really hurt them. That and the overall. I mean, it's funny, but I don't gamble, but if you look at these, what happened is that there's no surprises, so therefore it hasn't been as exciting. I think Jason's absolutely terrific. And one of the things I really liked about it is that he basically told you, look, this is not what we need. And that's become a very expensive business. There's so many companies vying for the cost of acquisition is very high. It almost reminds me, as my friend Ben Stoto, who's the research director for Mad Money, says, that it's kind of like the cannabis stocks a couple years ago, where there just turned out to be so many entries. And their Canopy is another disaster today. They've got really bad negative EBITDA margins and revenue down and 3%. So I feel that the gambling stocks got to be careful.
Let's just touch on Penn really quick. We did watch Portnoy's video yesterday in response to some allegations from Business Insider. But, in general, is this space tradable in the near future?
No, because I think that the big casinos are now in, and they don't have any cost of acquisition to speak of.
Yep. Shedding some of their legacy.
Yes.
Mirage.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I will say that DraftKings is a winner. They have a lot of money, and they will be a winner. Penn National has a decent strategy. But these people have to spend a fortune to get customers. I don't like that. They need lower cost of acquisition, and they haven't found a way.
Let's get the opening bell here at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. As a big board, scooter company Bird celebrating its recent listing via SPAC. At the NASDAQ, it's GetNet, a Brazilian provider of online credit card payments, celebrating its listing. So you're going to watch a lot of green wash in here this morning, Jim.
This is a good day. I mean, this is the end of the end of the war's in sight. I've been going over all of the IPOs from this year, and they're just too many. I've been trying to study them, and I think people have to recognize we have a whole new cohort of companies. They're doing okay, not great. SPAC's okay, not great. But we're going to be stuck with these companies for a long time. And if you look at them and you try to analyze them, it's so hard because there's almost no research coverage. For every DraftKings, there's 10 others that you never heard of. And I've been trying to understand them is very, very difficult.
This has been your complaint for a while.
Oh, my. So when I see these, it's like piling on already. I study them because of the lightning round. because people constantly ask me about them. You know, and I feel like there's one called Toast. I feel every one of them is Toast. Jeez, Lightspeed. I mean, these are the ones that shock you. Yeah. They shock you with how bad they are sometimes.
There's, you can see the gainers there are pretty much all related to reopening. Live Nation, by the way, also coming off an earnings print, but up 13. You're going to go to some concerts in
I'm
the near
going
future.
To Billy Joel tonight. Jeez, actually, it's like my wife had been very, Lisa had been a little circumspect correctly given what's happened. And she says, we're going to a concert. Daughter bought us tickets. We're going to a concert. Going to a concert. Like, wearing what? Wearing oxygen tanks? No, we're actually just going to go to the concert.
Yeah, well, that's sort of where we are at the moment. By the way, it's not just reopening. Let's just briefly touch on NVIDIA, which is impossible to keep down, Jim. You're talking 50% gains in three weeks.
Okay, so NVIDIA, understand that everybody, whether it be Omniverse, as Jensen Huang calls it, or Metaverse, it has to be written on their on their graphics cards. It's something that he's been working on for years. Forget Mark Zuckerberg. This is a man who showed me the future, I don't know, 4 years ago, when he said, we're going to go into a room, and there's going to be all these characters, avatars, and you can learn from them. And as soon as we get the safety figured out, it's going to be amazing. And I said, well, I'd really like to talk classical music. I'd like to see a Shakespeare play. I said, okay, that's what's going to happen. And it was just too fantastical when I spoke to him. But he had the jump. And all he has a vision of the world. He thinks in a very different way than the rest of us.
But if I showed you this chart right here as a mystery chart without the ticker, you'd be like, ring the register. I know you.
I can't with Jensen Huang.
Really?
I can't. He's too brilliant. He's too kind, brilliant, simple. Daughter was a great chef. And I don't know. I mean, I look, there's some people, you meet them and you say, you know what? I had the opportunity to meet Jensen, and I can't believe it. And one day, Walter Isaacson's going to write a book about Jensen and what this man saw. I found out when the stock was around 20, I went to go see the Audi North America, and they had all this electronics. And I said, tell me, what? Who's this? This is Intel? And he goes, no, it's NVIDIA. I said, no, they make gaming chips. He goes, they make the greatest chips in the world. And that was, ooh.
I mean, Jim, the way you're talking kind of sounds like sort of late 90s internet innovation, CapEx.
It's Andy Grove with the human face. Andy Grove was a great,
but I mean,
not a nice man.
The markets in general here.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the cusp of innovation.
Oh, no,
it's
major. And I was actually going back and forth with my head writer, who's also my only writer, who happens to be my sister's kid, Cliff Mason. And he was saying, Jim, you're missing it here. You know, this is already around. And in Metaverse, and I said, but you're so far ahead of everyone. He's a gamer. You're so far ahead of everyone. You don't know how the rest of us are just now being drawn into the idea that there's an avatar. We play cards. We do whatever we want. We meet people. We're never alone again. We can do whatever we want in terms of go see things. It is an equalizer between rich and poor. It is remarkable. And it's not Zuckerberg. Let's stop it with the Zuckerberg.
I was at a dinner last night for NFT week here in New York City, and there's a lot of discussion about how, in their view, Facebook is, they're just trying to capture the marketing power of Meta. But no one wants to take ownership of Meta.
No, I mean, look, he changed his name, and he's got the best video yet about what it looks like. But it's on the shoulders of Jensen Huang. When you meet Jensen, he wears a motorcycle jacket. He's got a bar, wine bar at the office, really good sandwiches. And he's developing a coffee cart that goes to each person and has what they want. And, he's whimsical. He loves art. I mean, one of the things he showed me was, let me show you what I've done. Can you tell? And there were these two. One was previous generation, one was next generation. And I said, shading. And he said, yes, I love shading. And I've been able to figure out, I've been able to figure out shading in a way that makes it so that it's very lifelike.
Some engineer got tasked with that.
He's got 20,000 of the best engineers in the world. I don't know. All I know is that when I named my dog NVIDIA, my dog got a pass to go into the building. The only dog that's gotten a pass.
On a more pedestrian note, the very solid week for apparel continues with Goose.
Oh, well, that's Alston Simon Properties. And then today, Tanger got an upgrade. You need to see the factory outlets do better. But everything in the mall, of the Simon Property Mall, has shot up because we got good things. I mean, what the benchmark, JCPenney is doing well. Well, I mean, now you think about that. If JCPenney's doing well, what does that mean for XYZ, for this, that?
Yes.
And David Simon, who is, let's say, no, I would never describe him as a sweetheart. He just went out and said, look, even you know, our companies that we bought out of bankruptcy are doing great. So there's a move back in the mall. That all fits into the happy days are here again situation. I see DraftKings going up, which is good. I like Jason.
That's a post-COVID high on Simon Property. Goose, as we mentioned earlier, up 13. But all week long, it's been Under Armour. It's been Ralph Lauren.
People want to shop. David Simon says that over and over again. People want to shop. They want to go out. They want to do things. Frank Del Rio, they want to go to the most exotic places imaginable. And I think, look, I speak to a lot of CEOs, and when I speak to them, they say, look, Jim, will you get more upbeat? And I say, like, geez, it's hard to be more upbeat than I am. I said, no, get more upbeat. Stop talking about the Fed. Stop talking about quarter basis point. So, you know, stop obsessing about the labor. Start thinking about the greatness. Start thinking about what time you're in. Like, get a little lot, you know, get with the times. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the labor.
Yeah, even Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg's like, hey, yes. Come on, pick yourself up. Think about it.
The jobs
Zuckerberg,
number
Zuckerberg.
This morning, of course, as we said earlier, 531,000 jobs in October, and the unemployment rate drops to 4.6. Joining us first on CNBC is the Secretary of Labor, Marty Walsh. Mr. Secretary, happy Friday. Good to see you again.
Happy Friday to all of you. And if you hear a noise in the background, this helicopter's flying around the building today. So if you hear that, dealing with a lot of noise.
I got you. We got some noise here, too. We'll work our way through it. I mean, the instant reaction really has been the print is about the fading Delta variant. Can you talk about that and whether or not you think it was the lead dynamic?
No, I definitely think it has a big role to play in that. The beauty about this report is we saw growth in a lot of different sectors. It was manufacturing, it was business, it was in health, it was in hospitality, it was in construction. So you can see that. You can definitely see when we looked at the numbers this morning, we looked back in the summertime when the Delta variant was kind of spiking here. We saw less participation. We're seeing better numbers today. So I think that had a lot to do with it. I think President Biden's economic plan is working as well. And I think his plan to take on the COVID-19 or push back on COVID-19 is working as well.
Well, Mr. Secretary, Jim Cramer, one of the things that has happened this morning is Dr. Gottlieb is, I think, one of the foremost people involved with understanding the pandemic, basically said, look, with this new Pfizer remarkable series of pills, basically, the end of the pandemic's in sight. Are we ready for the end of the pandemic? Are we too bearish, too negative? I mean, this could be a remarkable moment. And I just find that no one seems to want to own it. Why not own it?
Well, certainly that was exciting news this morning. I saw it myself on the news when it was reported. I think that we have to, unfortunately, until that day comes, we still have work to do here. I think that here at the Labor Department, we're going to continue to encourage people and keep working to get people back into the workforce. If that is true and we're able to get something approved by the FDA, I'm not sure where that stands. I didn't see that part of it today. I think a lot of people in this country would love to see the end of the pandemic. We've come a long way. Your previous report, I didn't know who was talking, but when they talked about David Simon saying people want to get back out, want to go shopping, there's a hunger out there in the American people to get back to kind of a new normal here and move forward. And certainly I'd love to be talking to you about what's going on in the economy, minus dealing a pandemic in the future here, hopefully short term. But in the meantime, we still have work to do.
Mr. Secretary, I like all the situation trying to do infrastructure, but if we address the direct shortages, the one that seems to need the best skill set that I think the government may have to create is how to make truck drivers, how to create them, how to get people to be a truck driver. It's a very good job, but it's obviously very hard. It's the single biggest bottleneck in our economy. Where would you tell people if they wanted to be a truck driver, they could go learn?
Well, I certainly think that you should contact the American Job Centers here with the Department of Labor. We have 2,400 centers around the country. You're absolutely right. It is a big challenge. We saw some gains in trucking for people who work for companies. We're almost, I think they're 80% back to where they were pre-pandemic, which is a good sign. A lot of the trucking industries that we have problems with are independent truck drivers. We were dissecting some of that this morning, looking at the cost of keeping the trucks up, the cost of wages they're getting paid to move supplies around this country. I would suggest to anyone that has a CDL or you want to go to work, please contact us at the American Job Centers here at the Department of Labor. There are jobs available. We do need to address that issue a little more, though. It's not just simply finding truck drivers to drive. Some of these independent companies, they're one or two people driving trucks. That's part of the issues with getting goods and products around this country.
Labor force participation, 61.6. It's been between 61.4 and 61.7 for almost a year and a half. And I wonder if what you think it's going to take to have it bust out of that range.
Well, there's about 3.4 million people in this country that have stated that they're not going to work because of the pandemic. And I think that there's a lot of concerns there. I think that obviously seeing a reduction in infection rate is going to help us. But I also think that what we did yesterday, the emergency temporary standard on testing or vaccines, is going to help us as well to bring confidence back into people going back into work.
Mr. Secretary, I deal with a lot of the companies in Silicon Valley that are very good at tabulating. For instance, Bill McDermott at ServiceNow, Mark Benioff at Salesforce, Shantanu Narayen at Adobe. Why don't you contract out with one of them to tabulate these payroll numbers? I mean, they're better at it than the public sector.
Well, I mean, I think we have great people here at the Department of Labor and the federal government. Maybe what I'll do is I'll contact those companies that when I get off this TV with you and talk to them. I'm a big firm believer in working with the private sector, particularly on data. They have good information at their fingertips and good information that they're always looking at. In my previous role as mayor, I often worked with companies to look at data and information. So that's a good suggestion. So I'll take them up on that if they're willing.
Right. Datadog and GoodCore last night, Bill McDermott is doing a lot of you had seven contracts with the federal government. Benioff is a rather remarkable Salesforce compilation. Don't forget, Amazon Web Services can do it. Google Cloud, Thomas Kurian, I bet you he'd do it. I just think it would be good. And I think you get it really fast. It wouldn't necessarily mean that you're going to have to let your people go. But yeah, I'll give you any of those names. These guys are pretty dynamite.
Mr. Secretary, the president famously said a while ago that if American companies need more workers, and they clearly do, that they should, quote, pay them more. Is there a point at which hourly increases in wages and pay hikes would be seen as dangerous to the economy?
I don't necessarily think it's dangerous to the economy. I think we've seen some increases in wages in the last several months here, when we've seen people going back to work increasing. This month, like you said, this month was a good number. If we look at since the president's been in office, we've averaged about 650,000 job gains per month. So 5.6 million people have gone back to work since President Biden has taken office. We still have ways to go. And I think that, you know, we're going to watch the wage number and we're going to watch the inflation number. And we're going to be watching all those numbers as we move forward here in the months to come.
Mr. Secretary, thanks for sticking with us. I know the helicopter noise is tough. We've all done live shots and it's not fun. Good to see you, though.
Thank you very much,
Marty Walsh. As we go to break, programming note, the president is expected to deliver remarks on the jobs number around 10:15 a.m. Eastern time. We'll take you there live as soon as he begins. First, though, we'll take a look at the bond report as we continue to keep track of how treasuries are faring. Curve's been awfully interesting last few days, got the 10-year below 1.5, and oil as well with a 7 handle earlier this morning. Be right back. Let's sweep up some of the names we haven't gotten to this hour. I know, Jim, you probably have a couple thoughts on Square's results from last night.
Yeah, I think Square was one of those things where crypto was not as good as I was hoping it'd be. But there was a lot of other parts of Square that were, you know, deceleration of Cash App, not that great, down 6%. But in the end, people regard this company as now part of the firmament. They regard it as if it's Visa. And I don't think it is, but I do think that they're a very forward-looking company. And they want to do crypto, and it doesn't pan out. People will forget that and just say, you know what? It's the young person's credit card. It's the young person's cash. People like Square. Younger people like Square. Now, by the way, once they do tend to graduate, they go to American Express.
I was going
to
say, does it make you less interested in MasterCard, or the cross-border stuff, is that going to offset?
Cross-border. I mean, I've been saying that MasterCard's cross-border. My charitable trust owns it, and I think that Michael Miebach's doing a tremendous job. It is a cross-border play, and it's a paper-to-plastic play. People want to somehow make it so that it competes against Square. MasterCard's very big.
I can't remember the last time I used cash, and I used to love using cash.
Yeah, right? I tried to pay someplace with cash the other day, and they said, no, we don't take cash. I said, okay.
It's still good, right?
Yeah, I thought it was like, I've got it in my wallet. Wow. I remember Charlie Scharf telling me when he was at Visa that, well, look, it's not that hard. You pull out a piece of plastic, pull out paper. People will never just do PayPal or whatever. Well, they did.
Yeah.
Look, Charlie's brilliant. He's doing a great job at Wells Fargo. I'd always welcome him right here if he would ever want to do TV.
Yes, yes. Shaq is up 18, I think. Even though 5 cent loss was a little bit narrower than expected, revenue miss, but BTIG takes it to a buy with 100.
I know. Look, they missed on a bunch of lines. But again, people want stories that are, you know, he's got a 10% short. I'm sure that there are people who want to get this thing going who do the short selling business that we've seen. I think it's had a big move. It's had a very big move today.
Also, we're going to watch not just NASDAQ first move ever above 16K, but look at Alphabet today. It got to $29.99 as we continue to watch this horse race, Jim, to $2 trillion.
Well, this is important. Alphabet had a quarter. Everyone was focused on the fact that Tom Kurian from Google Cloud wasn't able to do the $6 billion. He was doing $5 billion. The fact is, I think he could have done $8 billion if they had put more money behind him because they have so much demand. So they focused on the wrong line. Search is just fantastic. This company is a very inexpensive company versus the rest of FANG. Although, yeah, yesterday, Dan Niles was very critical about Apple as a pretty wealthy stock.
He's been skeptical over the years, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, there's an old friend from the 90s. But you know, he raised the point, Apple's more expensive versus what it's been.
Yes.
Facebook, now Meta, is very inexpensive. But I think that there's still a gloom involving what's happened there. And it's undeniable.
Although, well, 341 today, I asked you if you thought 320 might have been the low.
Oh, that was a low.
Nailed it.
Is Mark Zuckerberg a visionary about this? If you watch the video, which is available to anyone, you will be blown away. I need you to watch the video. You've got to understand, the guy, he's a hitter. Defenium's a hitter. Yeah. He's like a trillionaire. Jesus.
Coming up next, we'll get Jim and stop trading. And by the way, of course, you can always get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Cramer. Sign up and find more at cnbc.com/investing club or just use the QR code. We're back after a break. It's time for Jim and stop trading.
Glaxo, not talked about much in this horse race. It does Shingrix, but it didn't really deliver anything in terms of vaccines. Barclays goes sell to hold. This is important. Barclays really disliked this. The company's divided into actual what I call science and consumer packaged goods. That's going to happen. Yields more than four. Buy it. Buy it. It's good.
Wow. That's look at that move. Yeah. How about Mad tonight?
Okay, I'm booking. I'm trying to book Square right now. I'm like booking Square. I have Carvana and I have Weyerhaeuser. Devin Stockfish is a very big visionary about what to do here in terms of trees, because you know I'm a big tree guy now. Yep. And if I can get a reader from Square, it'd be a big deal for me. That's what happens. You know, I'm sitting here booking people.
I don't know how you do it. I'm talking to you. You're booking guests.
No,
if David were
like
here, he'd give
insane.
You a hard time, too.
But if we get a reader who's what we will do is figure out whether Square should go up or down, since it's been down big and up big. Exhausting.
Really quick, Jim. Given all the reopening themes we've talked about this morning, why is oil holding below 80, and can it hold below 80?
There's some cheating going on. Finally, there are people in the U.S. who are pumping. it's private equity guys, but there's cheating. And I think that it's the first time.
We'll get rig count today.
Yeah, they are. Rig count's still going to be well down from 2019. But you're beginning to see the spigot open, not for the big guys, but from the little guys. But when you put all the little guys together, you're going to see that they're trying to. At $80, they just couldn't resist. It's too great for them.
Jim, good weekend, and we'll see you tonight.
You too. Yeah, thank you.
A big show, big day. Mad Money, 6 p.m. tonight.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.